This episode is brought to you by Windrose Recovery, a family of premier addiction treatment programs in southeastern Wisconsin. Privately owned, Windrose Recovery offers a full continuum of personalized care for those struggling with addiction, including the Manor for residential treatment, Midwest Detox for inpatient detoxification, and Windrose Counseling for outpatient treatment. With highly personalized treatment focused on trauma, Dr. Chantel Thomas and her expert team offer an authentic experience, creating the kind of deep emotional change that's crucial for long-term recovery. If you or someone you love is struggling with addiction, call Windrose Recovery at 414-409-5300. You can learn more about Windrose Recovery by clicking the link in the show notes or by visiting windroserecovery.com. Thank you for listening to The Path to Authenticity. My name's Tom Gentry. I think of the show as the opposite of small talk. You'll hear real conversations with real people who know who they are. We talk about what makes them who they are, how they became who they are, and how we might become truer expressions of who we are.
This is The Path to Authenticity.
Nowhere to run, nothing to hide from the government's prying eye. Take yourself a summer holiday.
The Path to Authenticity proudly supports the I Speak Media Foundation, advancing media literacy education through an evolving series of outreach programs within the communities that need it most. For more information, visit ispeakmedia.org. If this is your first time here, thanks for checking it out. If not, thanks for coming back. I'm Tom Gentry, and this is The Path to Authenticity. Episode 119 for April 20th, 2021. It features a woman named Luisa Ladovici. So, I subscribe to Psychology Today magazine, and I'll link in the show notes to, I did a couple episodes back in the beginning of this thing, almost 2 years ago now, with John Thomas, who is the publisher of Psychology Today, who is just hilarious and fantastic, and I had a lot of fun recording with him. And had a similar experience with Luisa. She just has this great energy, very happy. You'll pick up on it right away. We just had a lot of fun. She's got great personality. So the April issue of Psychology Today, the cover story, it's titled The Good Enough Life: How to Be Happy with What You Have. And, you know, I started flipping through it, and I get to the table of contents, and here's the story. Luisa Ladovici was a child prodigy. She eventually realized that she was average, and that was completely fine. So, then you go to the story, and you know, it has a little bit of a story about her. And the headline of this section, it's a compilation of different essays by different writers for the magazine, You Are Good Enough. And then under the photo of her, the cut line reads, Luisa Ladovici started playing the flute at age 8. She was used to being the best, even playing at Carnegie Hall with the New York Pops. But as she grew older, she realized she wasn't the best. Other people were better. Feelings of inadequacy followed her into adult life. As a model, she felt bigger and fatter than everyone else. In her eyes, she was average, but she's worked to put those feelings behind her. More and more, she feels just fine. She's even picking up that flute and getting back to who she is. So I checked out Luisa on Instagram and I messaged her. I thought it'd be fun to get her on the podcast, and it was more fun than I could have imagined. So I really enjoyed talking to her. I think you're going to enjoy listening to our conversation. So here we go. Luisa Ladavisi.
So I started playing the flute when I was 8 years old, right, and singing. And then I continued just doing that. And I went to LaGuardia High School in the city, which, you know, you audition amongst thousands of kids, you know, because it's the fame school. And like Al Pacino went there and Jennifer Aniston and all these people. And I get in for vocal and instrumental performance, but you can only pick one major. So long story short, I don't even know how I end up, because I didn't really pick, but I denied the acceptance at first because my parents were super, I grew up in the Bronx, so they were super scared of me taking the train. They're like, you're going to get mugged or, pushed into the tracks. And I was like, oh my God, you know, but I knew it was the biggest mistake I ever made to like deny them. So I wrote this letter of appeal, and long story short, I guess they just submitted me as an instrumental major. And so like all of this time later, you know, I guess like being a flautist from a young age, I was always the best, you know, I was always like principal chair, blah, blah, blah. And then I get to this school with that had like so many other talented kids, and I wasn't the best anymore. And that kind of made me kind of become really hard on myself, because it was always a competition, you know, you always had to perform well. And sometimes you had to get up and perform in front of like your peers. And it just, you know, it was, I always felt inadequate because everyone else had private lessons and all this other stuff. And my parents couldn't afford that.
Right.
So I never had that, you know? And, so all that to say, now we have COVID, you know, last year. And then on my Instagram prior to that, I'd never really showcased, you know, playing the flute or doing anything with the flute, despite the fact that on various podcasts, my like stage name, if you will, is like Flutesy. And, you know, on these comedic shows that I've been doing for the last like 5 years. And, you know, this one photographer girl, she reached out to me because of one of the podcasts, and she's like, you know, your name is Flutesy, but I don't really see a lot of like flute stuff. And she wanted to do a photo shoot with me and the flute as a way to like brand myself in a way. Mm-hmm. And then I started really thinking like, let me just do it. Let me just cover songs on the flute and post them. You know, make a little YouTube channel, post them. And I think it would be entertaining, you know, it would entertain other people. And it kind of is a little like unique, right? Because then I started in doing my research and in just doing this in general, I realized that no one else is doing this on the flute, you know, like you always have people like playing the flute as a cover and like, you know, trying to play the melody or whatever. But like, I'm doing the whole score, so to speak, of like the music on the flute. And then, you know, I'm not the best vocalist in the world. I didn't train my voice since I became an instrumental major. So, you know, I just like do my little vocal thing however I can. But it's mainly the point of it really is to be funny, entertaining, and it's a flute cover, you know?
Right, right.
So all that to say, I never would have thought, like in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, you know what? How cool would it be if the artist of any of these songs ever came across my cover, you know? And like, that was like a goal, like a secret goal in the back of my mind.
Has it happened?
How would I ever know that?
You know, they wouldn't reach out to you or something.
Would they? I don't know. I mean,
you ever tag them when you post this stuff on Instagram?
Yeah, of course. Well, yeah. If I know that they have an Instagram, you know, I'll tag them. But you know, so far, like I did, Billy Joel, White Wedding.
Billy Idol.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh my God. That's what I meant.
It's a big difference.
No, that's what I meant.
I know.
I'm like over here, Billy Joel, like, just like, whatever. You'll get to know me. Like, my brain doesn't work all the time. You know, it like spazzes and like stalls.
Okay.
But, you know, that's just normal for me. but yeah, so oh my God. But, you know, so I tagged him and his son. And his son, I thought to myself, well, his son doesn't have as many followers, so maybe he'll be more likely to see something if he's tagged in it. But how do I ever know, you know, if they see something and then they pass it on? And
only, I never know. Only if they like it or something, yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell.
So it's a journey. It's been a journey with all this, but it's fun. And I'm working on the latest cover I'm working on is Caribbean Queen.
Oh, Billy Ocean.
Yeah, a lot of Billies up in here, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I learned about you from Psychology Today magazine.
Yes.
So you were talking about how you were accustomed to being the very best, mm-hmm. and they did a whole feature on a number of different people who started out as the very best and then found themselves not in that position anymore. And mm-hmm. you were the first one who they featured with this beautiful black and white photo of you.
And, oh,
thank you. And so I started to read it and I thought, I'm going to track her down and get her on the podcast. So what was that like to the transition from being the person who is like the best of the best in terms of flautists and then, then coming to terms with the idea that, no, I'm not, and I'm probably going to need to do something else. What was that like?
You know, well, so when, I mean, I was 13 when I got to LaGuardia, and, you know, now as an adult, it's like looking back, it was a lot of pressure for a younger person to go through without any real guidance. You know, like my parents weren't musicians. I think in the back of their minds for a long time, it was just kind of like, oh, this is just something she likes to do.
Right.
But I never, you know, my parents, my mom, well, my dad is 86 today. Right. Ooh, and my mom would have been, yeah. Oh, not to, I mean, to date. Sorry. Yeah,
okay.
Thank you.
This year.
No, actually this year he's going to be 87.
Okay.
Even older. But, my mom would have been 74 this year. And, you know, I think they're just from an older generation and I guess they never really saw music as a way to make money. So, you know what I mean? So they never really fostered my talent, I suppose.
Yeah.
As much as I guess they could have. And, you know, the transition from realizing like, oh, wait a second, like now I'm not principal chair anymore. I don't know. It was really disheartening, I think. And at the time it was something that I didn't really know how to handle. So instead of someone saying to me, you know what, it's okay that you're not the best anymore. You know, you're among, it's like, cause the reality is, even though I'm not the best, I'm still a lot better than a lot of other people.
Right.
So
doesn't mean you're not great.
Right. It doesn't mean that I can't be great in my own way. Because take, for example, Lizzo, you know, she came out and I feel like she's maybe primarily a singer, but she does play the flute, you know, and she can and do a little thing here and there. And then there's also different styles of performance, right? Like, so you could be in jazz, you could be a classical musician.
I mean, you think about like, I love jazz trumpet. Like Miles Davis is my favorite jazz artist, but every trumpet player, every saxophone, they have their own voice.
Right.
And, you know, and so, you know, it doesn't matter who's better than, you know,
right.
It's the sound. And I'm sure you have your own sound.
Right. And so that's the thing, you know, like at a young age, that's not what I was thinking at the time. It was just, oh, I'm not good enough anymore. And then that settled into my mind. And as a result, it's almost like a very, it's just a negative feedback thing where, you know, then I have, let's say my juries where I have to perform my scales and everything was very technical, right? Like if you're being judged on something, you're being judged on how well you play something. So, and on top of that, I studied classical music. So, you know, that's a very different ballgame than being more expressive as like a pop artist or anything else. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's just for the environment that I was in, it wasn't a helpful way of thinking at the time, but as unfortunately, that's just what it was. And I just wish, I guess, that knowing what I know now, because, you know, I feel like it hindered me from, like, I wanted to go to conservatory, as an example.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I didn't really have the courage enough to even audition at the time. I auditioned for conservatory. I just also had a love for science. So I ended up compromising, I guess, in my own head and saying, well, you know, I'll go to a school that is good at both so I can, like, study both.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what I ended up doing. But at the time, you know, if I had just been instructed otherwise or guided a bit more, I would have maybe auditioned for conservatory and who knows, probably would have been fine.
Well, but, you know, this is, as kids, we need adults because we don't have the wisdom to realize these things. Like, I think about, you know, baseball was my first and greatest love, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And at one point I had a teacher who basically sucked the wind out of my sails and said, basically, no matter how hard you try, you'll never
play major leagues. Oh my God.
You know, and you know, I grew up in a home where my parents was like, if you just try hard, and I really tried hard. Like anybody who watched me when I was a kid, I was intense about it. Mm-hmm. But like the sixth grade math teacher, and you know, it pissed me off, of course, even as a kid, but I also bought into it.
Right.
And eventually I gave up because, you know, I'm not going to be a major league baseball player. But what I didn't understand is that I'd have been happy being a fucking groundskeeper.
Right.
Or a coach or anything in baseball. So it wasn't about, you know, if I'd have just kept going, I would have ended up where I was supposed to be one way or the other.
Right. Yeah. And so I hate, so just, I guess, like a fast forward, like real quick of me, right? So I end up going to school. I study science and music still because I couldn't give it up.
Right.
And then I eventually convinced myself that I'd be happy as a research scientist. I get a degree in biology and a minor in chemistry. I end up, long story short, finding a job as an assistant research scientist at Mount Sinai in the city. I end up working there for about a year and then I get laid off because I was like the newest one on board and we didn't have grant funding. And then I took a long, hard look at myself and I said, you know what? Fuck this. I'm not doing this. I'm not going. I got on unemployment, a friend of mine, because I was like, what am I going to do? You know, but I always worked like 2-3 jobs in my life. Like I always worked hard. So a friend of mine was like, why don't you go on unemployment? And I said, you know what? That's a good idea. For the first time in my life, I went on unemployment. And then I decided, I thought to myself, how can I get back into the arts in any way that I can, you know? And I ended up becoming an intern for a sound design studio because I thought, oh, let me learn this as a skill or something. And maybe I'd like that. That didn't work out. But as a result of being an intern at the studio, they also did a podcast. And one day I said, I had shown my boss at the time, Roy Harder, who is an amazing musician, like Emmy Award winner, like great, great, great sound engineer. And I show him this song that I played on the flute. And he's like, wow, you're really good. Why don't you bring in the flute and just play it on the show? Because he played keyboards as like, it was like a musical kind of a podcast show. And long story short, that was the first day of the rest of my, I guess, career, if you will, in the podcast world on these comedy shows. And like, I never stopped, you know, and it's been, and then on top of that with modeling, like I started modeling or I started dabbling in it when I was 17, but that was another thing that I had put off for so many years because I was in school. And then I said, you know what, let me just, and then, you know, you tell yourself all sorts of things like, oh, I'm too old now, or I'm too fat, or I'm too this, or I'm too that. And I said, you know what, like, I don't want to be that person who's 45, 50 years old and thinks back on all these years that I could have. And I feel like I spent a lot of my 20s, you know, like half of my 20s not doing what I knew I was meant to be doing. And then the other half struggling until this day, struggling to figure out how to make something work all while living on my own, you know, and trying to like eat and pay bills. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's, I don't know. It's,
this is why I started this podcast.
Yeah.
Cause you know, I basically did the same thing. You know, we trade security for what we want. And then also there's this societal indoctrination of, well, this is what you should do, and this is what you're supposed to do. And if you don't reach these milestones in this sequence by this time, then
right.
there's something wrong with you.
Yes. You know? And I felt that so much because, so my path I felt was always different than a lot of people I know. And a lot of people that I graduated with, you know, they get into their job, they work up the corporate ranks, they do all this stuff. Me, you know, I've struggled, I've worked many different jobs in many different industries as a way to try to just make money, you know, to keep myself surviving at the same time. You know, being an artist, it's like, you're working like triple time, you know, everything I do, especially as like a freelance model, and like, I'm like constantly trying to set up shoots. I'm like, just figuring out any kind of a way. With the music stuff, you know, that's why I enjoy doing these covers in a way too, because I was kind of hoping maybe that somebody would come across them and think, wow, this is like definitely interesting, you mm-hmm. know, but maybe they're kind of good. Like maybe, you know, like, you know what I mean? Because sometimes that's what people like. People like something that is good, but like different at the mm-hmm. same time.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's just, I'm just never giving up. I think that's the point. That's awesome. Until the day I die. But I'm hoping, I don't know. I'm hoping that something comes of it. But I couldn't tell you what, you know, like,
well, hold on a second though. Mm. Like you're awesome. Like, listen to you. I mean, your energy's great. I mean, you sound happy. It's like a little bit infectious. Like, what do you mean something's going to come of it? Like this is cool. Like,
thanks. Right? I mean, but you know, it's every artist's dream to get paid doing what they love to do. And, you know, let's just take the modeling aspect, right? I'm a bit older now. So I recently over COVID just submitted online I'm looking for representation. I have representation for, cause I'm a fit model as well. Which is a little bit different just from like anything else, like commercial or editorial or whatever. And, you know, work is very, you know, few and in between. It's like a very competitive, it's the most competitive, right. Niche, I guess. But like, it's hard because, you know, agencies I feel won't look at you unless you're super young. Not to say that they won't ever. But then, you know, then I'm looking for like maybe even a talent agency, because then I can do commercials, you know, but it's like, you know, how they always say, you got to keep going. You're going to get a million no's before you get that one person that sees you and is like, you know what? Yes, I'm going to give you a chance. I want you to work on this album, or I want you to, you know, I'm going to book you for this commercial, or I'm going to do that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that one chance where, you know, because otherwise, yeah. I mean, thanks for saying what you did just now. You know, I am a very like positive person. I'm a hard worker. You know, I just keep going despite the odds, I guess. And I'm trying to overcome that naysayer mentality of other people, you know, like people that are going to say, oh, you're too old, or, oh, maybe you're not good enough. Maybe you can't play this well enough, and this and this and this. I don't care about those people anymore. I cared about them, or I let it get to me rather, for a long time. And I want to prove to myself that I can do it, you know, like for real, for real. So I try to do the best work that I can on my own, like everything on my Instagram, everything that you see, like all the flute videos, I've sat hours and hours. Like I don't go to sleep until 5 a.m, 6 a.m. And maybe I sleep like a couple hours, then I get up and then I'll like go to work, and then I come back, and all the creative stuff, like all my makeup I do, the styling I do for my flute videos, like all the audio, I had to learn how to mix audio. Like I learned how to use these programs. I learned, you know, literally I learned how to do like 10 different jobs, you know, because being an audio engineer, is just a job in and of itself to do well.
Right.
So, and it's not perfect. Like I can see my progression over the videos I've done, but it's not perfect, you know, and I can't bother myself with being perfect about every little thing. It just has to be good enough to get the point across.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I taught myself how to do this.
Yeah. Like right.
I YouTube videos and Wikipedia and Google and, you know, that's how this podcast came about.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so that's what I meant by, I hope something comes of it, because, you know, it's like, you just, I don't know.
Well, I'm positive. I guess, you know, what I just wanted to get across is that, I don't know, you're already pretty cool. Like, come
Thanks.
On. Yeah. Enough so that I wanted to talk to you. So
that's right.
so now where'd the body paint thing come in?
Oh yes. So I'm a little experimental, I guess. I don't know. I like to put myself, and that's another thing too. I like to put myself, I guess, as the greatest artists, you know, put themselves in uncomfortable situations mm-hmm. sometimes. And, you know, thinking outside the box, speaking of, you know, an agency, maybe thinking, oh, you know, if you're a bit too old or a bit too old, like, you know, all that stuff. So I was like, how can I hedge? It's like a way to hedge against being told no. Like mm-hmm. I thought, how can I be different as a model? Because the average model, you know, high fashion, blah, blah, they're like a size zero, super tall. They're, you know, and that's it. And I'm like, but I'm not that kind of a model. I'm like an artsy, an all around. I live for art all around. It's not just one specific kind of thing.
Right.
So I was on Craigslist of all things. And people say Craigslist, got to be careful, it's a scam. Craigslist has never been bad to me. Has never been bad to me. And I guess, you know, like I have that New York savviness. I know how to spot a scam when I see it, you know, can't play a player. So I'm over here looking at this thing and I said, this guy needs models for his body paint series. He was doing, he wanted to tell that person's story in body paint, like as a reflection of art on their body. And I said, oh my God, this is the coolest thing. But I was raised by a really conservative and strict Italian mom. So, ironically, if she were alive and she knew that I did this, she'd have a heart attack. But I did it because I wanted to do it as a tribute to her. She had just passed away, I believe, like a year prior. And I thought, how nice the story I can tell would be of me and my mom. And I could just do that for her. So it's weird because she wouldn't approve of it if she were here, but I wanted to do it for her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I contact this guy. I tell him my story. He was like, wow, I think that's beautiful. Let's do it. And long story short, it was my first session with him and he was super professional and really nice. And I thought to myself, what picture can we depict? And it was me playing the flute sitting under a tree. And my mom in the clouds, like he was like, send me a photo of your mom so I could try to draw her or whatever in the clouds, kind of like watching over me because she would always listen, you know, growing up, especially going to LaGuardia, I was always practicing in the house for my juries and, you know, just band and orchestra and stuff. So, I wanted to play for her as a tribute to her one more time kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so he painted me. And it
was beautiful.
He
painted you on you.
Yes, he painted me and my mom on me. I have it on my Instagram. It's like, it's like, you know, me sitting under a tree. I liked it. It has a lot of like vines and stuff. And then he painted a kind of flower that anytime I visited my mom, I would bring her flowers. And he painted the kind of flower I would always bring her. And it was just beautiful. And that's how I started getting into it. And after I did that first session with him, I thought, wow, I absolutely loved doing this. I want to do it again. And then on Craigslist, I find a gig for this clothing line. They're from Seattle, I believe. And long story short, there was a body paint artist there, and this body paint artist that they hired to do some paintings for their brand is a world renowned fine art body painter. Her name is Trina Mary. I love her. She's now a good friend of mine. And I'm on her roster of her list of models. And I went to a workshop. She painted me as Captain Marvel. And it was awesome. And she gave me such awesome, cool photos. And then after that, you know, we worked together ever since. And she's camouflaged me into the vessel in New York City. I flew last year during the freaking height of the pandemic to Dallas, Texas. And she painted me. She camouflaged me in Fort Worth. She camouflaged me into the background of Fort Worth. It's beautiful. It's great. I love it, you know, and I've, worked with, other artists since. And I was featured in the Daily News, last year in New York City for Body Paint Day. I made the cover of the cover of the Chicago Tribune, Daily News, and the Village Sun, which is a more local paper in New York, for Body Paint Day. I don't know. I've just been like working, you know. I've just been doing it, like, and I love it. I think.
What do you love about the body paint experience?
I was really shy about my body growing up because my mom, you know, she wouldn't even let me wear shorts in the Bronx past a certain age, you know, and rightfully so. But she's like, you know, you got to cover your butt if you're going to wear like leggings or whatever, like how these girls out here wear leggings and they don't cover themselves. You know, my mom was super, like I said, conservative.
Modest.
Yes. Modest, classy, you know. Mm-hmm. And
I like the voices you do.
Classy. Mm-hmm. I know. So then, you know, so I grew up being very shy about my body. And you know what? Real talk. I have small boobs, right? Mm-hmm. And in this society, people are always talking about, oh, like big breasts look good in shirts and, you know, it's sexy and this and that. You don't really hear that about, you know, small chest girls. And so for a long time, I was super just self-conscious that I had smaller boobs. And, you know, another stupid thing that you just go through, I guess. And, you know, I remember like my first two boyfriends, like I was always really like nervous or not nervous, but like, shy to take off my shirt and whatever. And so when I came across this opportunity to do the body paint thing, that really took a lot of courage in my mind because I had to say, fuck it. I'm just going to do it, you know, put myself into the most uncomfortable position I will be in. Mentally, you know, like not like I was in danger, but just like mentally. And I couldn't believe in such a short amount of time, in less than a year, I went from the first ever session I did, I had tape over my nipples and I was wearing underwear, to being completely naked in Soho. So this is, Trina Mary was doing an exhibit in, one of these art houses in Soho in New York City. And I was one of her models for this. And I was completely naked, painted head to toe. And it was called, she was doing a series called Objectified. And you can see it on YouTube. And basically, I was acting like living room furniture. It was me and a couple other girls. And we were going around posing like a vase, like a lamp, like an ottoman, like, what do you call that? I don't know. All these different things, furniture pieces. Mm-hmm. The point of it was, do you control your surroundings or do your surroundings control you? Mm. You know? So it was a thought-provoking type of experience. But I went from shy to do anything to completely naked in front of hundreds of people coming in and out for this exhibit, you know? Mm.
But, you know, it's got to be kind of weird because you feel naked, I'm sure. But you do not look naked.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like your skin is painted.
I mean, like these naked shots you're talking about on your, it doesn't look like, it looks like you are wearing clothes unless you, well, the ones that it's clothing painted. I mean, it looks like that. Yeah. Unless you look closely.
Right. The clothing ones are a bit different, but the other ones, like any of the other ones, it just looks like I'm naked with paint, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just, I think what I love about that form of art and what I'm just grateful for it because it's taught me that however you look, when you look that way, you have to accept it, you know, because we fluctuate in weight. We're not perfect. There's always something we think we can change about ourselves, something we don't like, but the ultimate acceptance of you is just doing that, you know, like telling yourself, who cares? Who cares that I don't have like D tits? Who cares that I have a little, you know, chicha roll on the side? Who cares? Like, because that's how I look now, but maybe, I don't know, 3 months from now, I lost 10 pounds and now I don't have it. It doesn't matter.
Right.
You know? And I think like society sucks for the way that, you know, the campaigns, the marketing, the this, that, you know, you have all these stick figure skinny girls that seem to have perfect bodies, you know, advertising clothing because everybody thinks that, oh, like even beauty, like the more symmetrical your face is, the more beautiful you appear. Mm-hmm. But who cares? Like, that's not the average person.
Right.
So, you know, I guess being a model, I'm almost like rebelling. It's weird. It's like I rebel against the normal way. I don't subscribe to the way that society dictates we should feel and think. I never have. And so despite people telling me no, I'm still going to tell them, well, yes, I'm doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
That's what makes you an artist.
Yeah, I guess so.
Hmm. Wow. So yeah. This is all really interesting stuff. Like you play a flute, you do covers of Layla and lots of Billy Idol and Billy Ocean and.
And maybe Billy Joel soon.
I'll get Joel, yeah. You probably shouldn't do the Piano Man if you're playing a flute.
Oh, my God.
You should come up with something. You know what?
Don't tell anybody I said this, although it's going to be on this podcast, but I'm not sure I'm in love with Billy Joel's music. And I went to school on Long Island, too.
Right.
So, like, if I say that out loud anywhere, I'm liable to get stabbed.
Well, now you can't even pick a song.
No, because I'm just, you know, it's like, it's good. I definitely think, you know, obviously, this man is a legend.
Yeah.
And musicianship, the whole nine, he's great.
Well,
I can acknowledge.
He's a storyteller, too. And I went through, and I'm, you know, I'm a story guy. I'm a word guy. So I saw him when I was in high school. And, you know, I went through a Billy Joel phase.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, scenes from an Italian restaurant. Like, it's pretty hard to refute that that's a great song.
Yeah, no. You know what? It's like, and I guess like I don't even know. For so many years, I didn't like Michael Jackson either, right? But I could always, I guess it's just you go through your taste changes, right?
Well, you know what I do? I do this thing where if everybody likes it, I don't want to like it.
Well,
is that what we're talking about or no?
No, I'm not even spiteful. I'm not even petty like that. You know, it's more just like I genuinely didn't want to hear Billie Jean another day in my life. I was like, just shut up with this, you know, or like I didn't want to hear.
You weren't alive when Billie Jean came out.
No, I wasn't. And you know what? I don't know. Maybe it's because my favorite band secretly is the Spice Girls, you know.
Is it really?
Yes.
What's your favorite band not secretly?
Oh, my God. How can I pick one? You know, I mean, I'm honestly a metalhead too. Like, okay.
Well, what are you listening to right now?
Oh my God. Everything. Soca music. I love Soca. Soca.
That is.
Oh my God. Soca music is the Caribbean. Oh,
okay.
Yes. It's like, you know, how they have carnival and, Trinidad. Oh, okay. It's like Trinidadian,
mm-hmm.
Kind of like tropical vibe, but like, Afro Latin
steel drums type
kind of beat. No,
steel drums.
No, like it's, oh God, It makes you feel like you should be sipping a pina colada on the beach, you know? But it makes it, that's my happy music. Soca okay. music, it makes me so happy.
Have you listened to Aaron Fraser?
No.
You should check him. Do you like soul stuff?
I do.
I love that stuff. Aaron Fraser. Mm-hmm. And then another one I picked up recently is this guy named Kelly Finnegan. Those are both, I mean, it's just great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm a big music guy.
Oh, good. But you don't know what soca music is.
I don't. You're right. I'm not as big as I would like to be, I guess.
Exactly.
No. But you know, I'm.
That's what he said.
I'm the guy who, like, I'll learn about a band and get into them, and I'll go deep dive into their catalog and learn about every little trivia bit of information about them and see them 50 times and that kind of, that's how I do with music a lot of times. But yeah. That's just kind of my personality. I can be pretty intense, I guess.
You're addictive. You have an addictive personality.
Yeah, something like that. So I don't know if I'm addictive. I'd like to think people get hooked, but
I'm both. Yeah. I'm both.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
I've had many of people addicted.
I bet you have. Well, you have a really unique face.
I do.
Like a really striking sort of face. Yeah.
Thank you.
I think so.
Are you trying to say I'm ugly? Let's just
no,
be real.
No.
Okay. Come on. Just got to clear that.
No. I mean, to me, like when you're talking about modeling and whether they'd choose you or not, and I don't know. The age thing is, to me, it's kind of bullshit. You know, I mean, I don't know. I have in my head, like I've always felt like women in their 30s, like there's nothing more attractive than a woman in her 30s.
Really? That,
yeah.
So yeah. I got a lot of time then.
I don't know. I'm, you know, I don't even know how old you are, but I assume good. You're
you
in
never
your 30s.
Will.
Yeah. Yeah. But no.
You assume I'm in my 30s?
So.
No.
Well, how old are you?
Wait, well, why do you assume that? Because I look that way or because of the things I've said?
I don't know.
Oh my God. You're failing at this.
No, I'm not. I'll cut
you're
this out
failing.
If you need me
have
to.
Have you learned nothing
what,
in your life?
What did I do wrong?
Oh my God. You know what you did wrong?
What
you
did
didn't
do?
Straight off the bat say, you know what? I know that you're only 27.
Okay.
You didn't say that.
Is that the truth?
It's close to the truth.
Okay. Come on.
But I'm not going to.
Now, come on. Have I not been praising you?
You have.
Let's be real.
I'm going to continue to let you do that.
Okay. No. No, seriously. Like, your nose is awesome. Oh. And you have these big, beautiful eyes. Oh my God. I'm looking at this picture. Come on. Yeah. No, I mean, you know who, if you remind me of is, and I don't know what she actually looked like, but, you remind me of like, do you know who Anais Nin was?
I'm sorry, who?
Anais Nin.
Anais. No.
She was a writer. Maybe you'd be into her stuff. I don't know. You should check her out. But they made a movie about her and the author Henry Miller, who had this torrid love affair.
Ooh, I love a scandal.
It's called Henry and June. They were like Paris in the 20s or 30s or 40s. I don't know. Long time ago.
I would love to be in a scandal myself. I love scandal. Are you kidding me? That would be like, I would die. I'd be like, oh.
To be famous for
in a love
having
scandal?
Been in some kind of scandal.
Well, you know, I mean, hopefully...
Now, we've all kind of done scandalous things, haven't we? Have you? Come on.
Well, no. I've never cheated.
I'm not saying cheat, but, you know.
Well, that's scandalous.
It is scandalous, but it's not the only scandalous thing. I don't know.
Guess.
No, I've never cheated either. I've never been, I don't get that. You know, that just, it just doesn't, like, fit with who I am.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. I'm too much of a romantic.
What's your sign?
I'm a Scorpio.
You're a Scorpio. I'm a
Pisces.
Of
course I am.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, you're a Pisces?
I am, yeah.
Oh my God, my ex was a Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
Holy moly, when it comes to romance. But he was also a musician.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
The romance was off the charts.
Was it?
Yes. Yeah. He was also very emotional, though.
In a good way or a bad way?
Both, honestly. Yeah. I am too. Both.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I'm pretty emotionally, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm grounded in emotion. Like that's, I respond to my emotions. I'm emotionally driven, I guess is the word that I'm.
Yes.
Which I like. I don't see it as yes. A, yeah, I think it, and also like, I don't know. I feel like guys, especially like we really need to get real about our emotions and the role that they play in our lives, because for the most part, we just deny them, most men. And
yeah,
they're, it's a source of energy and passion. And I mean, they're tools. They're like, you know, it's right. Something for us to use.
Yes.
It's a source of power is what it is.
If any man is listening to this, I hope you take this to heart and be in touch with your feminine side.
Well, see, I have a thing about that. Here's the thing about the feminine side. First of all, where did that idea ever come from? Right?
Why? What do you mean?
No, well, think about it. A feminine side versus a masculine side. Like, who? Somebody made that up.
Well, listen, I'm not going to go taking testosterone pills and bench 180 at the gym. So, you know what I mean?
But, you know, just to me, what I'm getting at is like, why does emotion have to have a gender?
That's true.
It doesn't.
To every man listening to this, forget what I just said.
Well, no, but it's important because that's how deeply embedded it is in our culture, these beliefs, because you even are talking about you put positive messages around emotions and you even use the term feminine side. But if you think about it, what guy wants to get in touch with his feminine side?
I mean,
you know, most guys, if you're a hetero guy, you don't want to hear that shit. Like what it's basically saying is you be more like a woman.
Right.
And guys don't want to hear that.
And guys are like, fuck that.
But you know, it's a false thing because men are emotional too. We just aren't.
Oh,
we're not taught to experience the same way as women.
You know what? When men are like, oh, women are crazy, I beg to differ because I have had one too many experiences with men that are, if anything, just as emotional as women and are just as nuts, but like in their own way. So,
well, and see, here's a whole other thing. So emotions, nuts, all that stuff.
Yeah. How it
that only is real if you don't manage your emotions. If you don't know how to handle your emotions, that's you know, but if you know how to regulate, and that's really what we need. I think we need to stop saying that emotions are feminine because as long as we do, men aren't going to want to be emotional and we are, and we have to quit pretending we're not right. Mm-hmm. Because what happens is it ends up coming out sideways and in ugly ways. Are you outside? Are you out in the wind?
Oh my God. I'm so sorry. No, I'm blowing on my nails.
You're blowing on your nails. I'm like, what's she doing?
On my nails.
Walking her dog into the or something.
Phone and I didn't even realize.
That's okay. I guess it's fitting. I mean,
oh my God. No, I'm, you know, it's chit chatting. We're chit chatting.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
Doing my nails and drinking a beer, you know?
So you know, we started at, around 7 o'clock and we're going to be done by 8:30, right? What's at 8:30? What do you got?
Oh, well, nothing. Just going back to my life. Just going back to my life. I'm trying to revamp my apartment. So, I want to get rid of everything I own. I literally want nothing in my living room. I have like some instruments. I want my instruments to be my decoration. I want to put up a couple pieces of nice art. I want to have a couch. I don't know what color. I want to get cream because I feel like, ooh, modern, like kind of sexy a little bit. But like, let's say something spills on the couch. Then I'm going to fucking kill you. So I don't know if I should do cream, maybe gray, light gray. But then gray is very gloomy. You know, I have a hard time with this. I don't know what to do. And then I want to trash everything else. Like as I'm getting older, I'm realizing I don't want anything. I want nothing because I want to be able to get a phone call that says, bitch, pack your bags. We're going to freaking Monaco and I'll be like, I'm there. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I don't want to worry about anything. Right. I don't want to have anything.
Yeah.
Minimalist life.
What about like marriage, kids? Was that ever anything you wanted to do, or what's the story with that?
I'll say this. I was never the girl, because I guess I'm fueled by my passions, you know, and my anything art, anything that makes me happy so much to do these things, which is why all I want to do every day, all day is like, I could be in a studio 15 hours a day, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And not worry or think about anything else. And I've done it. I've never been the girl that sat there and said, you know what? I want to have kids. I want to have 5 kids and I want to live in this kind of a house. No, I'm the kind of girl, not to say that I don't want kids, but I'm the kind of girl that says, I want to get naked in the middle of New York City and I want you to paint me so we could take photos against this backdrop. You know, I'm the kind of girl that's like, I want to be in a relationship for sure. I think you would be lucky in this life to meet someone and have such a great love, a love that is unbroken, you know, like, yeah, it's hard. Maybe you fight, blah, blah, blah. But a love that no matter what can take you around the world, you know, mm-hmm. like, and I want to travel the world with someone I love, like mm-hmm. of all things true for me, that's something I've always ever thought about. So you would think it's the easiest thing. Like, oh my God, what kind of guy wouldn't want that? What kind of guy wouldn't want to be with a girl that, you know, the simple things are the things that matter, being good to each other, traveling, blah, blah, blah. But it's hard to come by still. So I don't know. I mean, marriage, yeah, I would love to be married with one person. And I don't believe in divorce unless, you know, this person somehow turns into like a wife beater, then I'm liable to just like, you know, stab him. So I don't know, but who knows what's in the cards.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like of all things. So, you know, when there's love and a good foundation, then everything else follows. Yeah. But until there is love and that understanding of the core values and, you know, what two people want for themselves, then what's the point of thinking about a wedding or a kids or this and that? Like, and I feel like, you know what, if I never find somebody and if I never can have that, then I have my art and I have the things that I do that fulfill the reason why I live, you know?
Yeah.
So
I like that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, you're talking about that special kind of love that, I don't know, for me, it's, if a couple has it, you see it.
Yeah.
It just looks different mm-hmm. than it just looks like apples and oranges compared to other couples when they're mm-hmm. totally best friends, totally into each other. You know, just in love, like deep, like it's just different and you don't see it that much.
Yeah.
Which is sad, but I have, you know, I have some friends and people who are close to me who have that. And, you know, I'm kind of the same way at this point. I am divorced. I also didn't believe in divorce and never, ever wanted to be divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And especially never wanted to put a kid through that, but mm-hmm. you know, life happens and, mm-hmm. and I'm at a place now where I'm glad I am, you know, I wouldn't, you know, I'm happier than I've ever been and that needed to happen. But,
right.
But yeah, I'm at this point, I'm happy. Like,
right. And that being said, by the way, I commend you for that. And also, you know, your happiness should never be at an expense.
Well, that's the thing. I
should say that's my condition, you know? Like, yeah, I don't believe in divorce until who you are and your personal worth and happiness is compromised. If that has to be compromised, then
you're not there anyway. You're not in it anyway.
You're not in the right thing. And it's not worth this because in your life, you have one life. And above all else, the way you feel has to be of the utmost priority.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, my and thing with that was I want to be able to look at my son when he's 20, 30, whatever years old, and to be able to honestly tell him I did everything I possibly could. And I did, you know?
Right.
So that's, but also, like, we model stuff for kids, right? They watch us, and we're the prototype for how you're supposed to do things. And mm-hmm. I didn't want to send him the message that you should be unhappy.
Right.
So, but yeah, no, I'm at this point, it's like, I'm like happier than I've ever been in my life. And to be with anybody, I mean, I'm not going to be committed to anybody unless it's gold, like those people right. that I just described. Like, I don't like, why, you know, why would I do it? You know,
right.
When, you know, you can date and have a good time and all that, but you know, I'm not. And I think that's a good traveling around the world with somebody and experiencing life like that is a good thing to aspire to, right? That would be super cool.
Yeah. The path to authenticity.
The path to authenticity. So what's on the horizon for you, Louisa? What's next? Do you have a book in you? Are you going to write a book ever or anything like that?
You know what? Maybe in the next... Maybe by the time I'm 40, I'll write a book.
Which is a good 15 years away, right?
Yeah, you know, there you go. You're learning. <I'm trying. laughs> But no, you know, I what the hell do I want to do? Well, my goal this year is to be published more. So I am working on just working on shoots with some designers that. Like this one guy, he's been published in like Harper's Bazaar, all these other magazines. So I'm really, you know, hustling out here trying to just make connections to see if I can, you know, model these designer clothes for whoever. Because I think, you know, being published is just like the next step. It's like the next thing that it gets more eyes on you and more people come across you and they go, oh, this girl is like interesting. Or like you said, like, oh, I like her look. Like she looks different. Mm-hmm. So that's what I need. I'm at a point where, you know, everything else is there. I just need someone to see me and say, you know what? Yeah. Okay. Let's do this.
So I'm hoping. Are you doing any of the brand ambassador stuff? Like
on Instagram? Please. I mean, no, because that is what a sham, you know. It's like these companies. Oh my god, I get hit up all the time with like, oh, you know, I'll give you a 30% off code. I'm like, bitch, you're giving me shit for free. You and your
right. GP. Well, that's all I've gotten too.
You know what I mean?
And like, I know myself, like I don't have enough followers for them to really want to pursue me. Like why, you know? So I know it's. Can't be legit. Well, that's
and me neither. Even like mm-hmm. I only have what 5,500 or something like that, maybe a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's a constant like constant trying to gain exposure. Like because you know, the more following you have, the more people look at you. That's true. And then you know, whatever. And then, but this brand, no, anything that comes from Instagram, like. Most 95% of it is bullshit. And then like one time I had a designer find my page and say to me, oh, like, I really like your look. Can you model jeans for me? And it was like a paid thing. That was like that was like finding a diamond in the rough, you know, mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, you're actually going to pay me. Wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just curious. I mean, I practice yoga and I see people who like they were able to do it that way. But, you know, for me, I don't know. I kind of see Instagram as like one of those things, like people who hang their hat on their Instagram following and stuff, like it could just all go poof one day. Right. And then, mm-hmm. you know, who are you if that's all you're doing? Right.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
But what I love about it is I mean, if I went back and looked at all the episodes I've done, so many of them are people I found on Instagram. And it feels like a community. I can just reach out. And more often than not, people respond. And it's friendly. And you know, and I like that. I like that. I've had a good experience with it.
Yeah. Well, the way, you know, you having, even the way that you approached me, like, it was, and I didn't see your Instagram.
Lisa Ladovici. Lost about 20 minutes of sound at the end. You know, at the end of the day, I'm still not a sound engineer. And, you know, I didn't lose it, actually. It sounded garbled, like a robot was, you know, speaking. It was, you know. And you hear this new mic I have, it picks up everything. So you can hear Caesar sneezing. Sneezer, sometimes I call him. Licking himself. He's in little dog bed next to my chair. Can you hear that? He just shook. Anyway, Luisa was fantastic. And, you know, there was just kind of more of the same. And, you know, one of the things she talked about is you got to hustle. And she's definitely a hustler in a good way. So anyway, like, subscribe, follow, whatever it is you do. Amazon, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Listen Notes, Overcast, Pandora, Patreon, Podbay, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Public, Spotify, Stitcher, and YouTube. Whatever they let you do there, do it, you know. If you like the show, if you know somebody who would enjoy the show, please share it with them. I'd appreciate if you could leave a rating or a review, whatever it is that they allow you to do on the platform where you listen. In terms of reviews, Apple Podcasts is what's going to help the most, and Podchaser is where I usually ask people who don't listen on Apple devices. So thank you to the band Punk Rock Opera, whose music you hear throughout the show. Their songs are used with permission from the artist under a Creative Commons license. Also starting to do some stuff on Clubhouse. Look for me on Clubhouse. I set up a club, The Path to Authenticity. Haven't done anything with it yet, but I'm going to start recording some of these interviews on Clubhouse, which I think will be a lot of fun. And I think we'll, you know, clue more people in on the show and hopefully gain some listeners. So I want to thank the show's sponsors, The Manor and Windrose Recovery. Thank you to Wendy Chen at Equivox for all her support. And The Path to Authenticity is proud to support the iSpeak Media Foundation. You can email the show at thepathtoauthenticity@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. Have playlists on Spotify. But visit the show at thepathtoauthenticity.com. So got lots of good stuff coming out, including an episode with my mom that's in the works. I'm pretty excited about that. Thanks for your patience. Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming back. Lots of love to all of you out there. Thank you.
Player.
The Path to Authenticity is powered by Equivox. For digital marketing and web design services, visit equivox.com.